Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Last week I spoke a message out of John chapter 9. Who remembers that? Nothing beats a personal encounter. Yeah, that's why we love being in the room. Tonight I want to speak out of Luke chapter 5. And I want to address the season that some of us are in right now. Some of you have been through it. Others, you might possibly walk into a season like this where it feels like you've been doing everything that you know how to do in God. Like you've lived as rightly as you possibly know how, not perfectly, but you believe God, you're doing what you can. You've been praying, you've been seeking God, you've been coming to church, going to connect, doing the things that you feel like are an essential part of your Christian walk with God. But you don't feel like God's correspondingly responded by bringing you a breakthrough. And the season that you're in, or maybe you might have been or might be in one day, is where you feel like you're doing your best in a tough marriage situation right now. You're doing your best in a, you know, you're caring for aging parents, or like there's stuff going on in your family, or maybe you're doing your best to eat right because you've got this health diagnosis, etc. And it feels like even though you're doing your part, God's not really doing His part. And you're spiritually and you're emotionally a little exhausted from believing God. How many of you have been in that place before? How many of you are in that place right now? Well, tonight we're going to get into Scripture and ask God to speak to us in this season, because it's a very pivotal and vulnerable season for a lot of believers. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 5. Who's ready tonight? Verse 5, so it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the Word of God, that He stood by the Lake Gennesaret, or Lake Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Take note, this is what they're doing. They're washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Simon became Peter later, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So Jesus started preaching. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Come on, somebody. And their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the boat, the other boat, to come and help them. When they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For He and all who were with Him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for the incredible text? Tonight I want to speak to you on this one thought. When you don't want to go fishing again. When you don't want to go fishing, and give these guys a big hand. Thank you so much, worship team. Don't they do an amazing job? Come early and serve us like that. A lot of us would understand the spiritual principle of doing the best that we can. You know, the devotion, the sacrifice, the serving, keeping our heart right, the attending to the things of God, etc. And we often think, as we should, that when we partner with God the right way, our devotion, our sacrifice, our surrender, our serving to God is partnered with His divine grace, His supernatural power. It should equal blessing, breakthrough, answered prayer, right? That's what we think. And sometimes though, we find ourselves in seasons where we know that we're doing our part, but it doesn't seem like God's doing His part. Have you been in that place before? It feels like we're doing all that we know how to do. And these guys here in Luke 5 were literally tired from fishing. It's like this parallel to us feeling weary from toiling and doing everything that we know how in our Christian journey, but weary from believing for a breakthrough that is still yet to come. Some of you, this is the end of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and you've been fasting for 21 days, and you've done what you know how. You've given up the food and all that, dropped down to one meal, etc. And all you've got to show for it is maybe 5 kilos less on the scales. Come on, somebody. And for some people, that's a miracle in and of itself, right? But you don't really have many spiritual things to show for it. Not a whole lot of spiritual results or answered prayers or miracles that you've been believing for. Here in Luke chapter 5, we see a similar kind of tension that Simon and James and John were going through. They'd been fishing all night, and this is the second account of Jesus showing up at the shores of Galilee. The other one is Matthew 4, Mark 1. The first account where Jesus says to Simon Peter for the first time, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. This is the second time he shows up and has a similar sort of conversation. Only this time, it was a bit more of an extended exchange where Simon, James, and John and all of their mates have been fishing and they have had a fruitless night, futile. Not a single fish to show for it. How many of you are fishermen in the room? How many of you like to fish every now and then? Not very many. How many of you like a tragic fisherman? Like you don't catch nothing. More hands went up there. I'm a fisherman, pretty hardcore. I've been fishing for over 2 decades. Now it's pretty demoralizing when you put in all the hard work, spend all the money at BCF in Anaconda, and you come home with no fish. Picture this with me. So Simon, James, and John had been fishing all night. They'd docked their boats. They put all their gear in the shed. They'd washed their nets and they're drying it on the rack. Do you understand this? Right? Jesus shows up and morale is already low. He decides, I'm going to squat in the boat and preach a sermon. After preaching a sermon, he gets all bossy. And he says to Simon, James, and John, I want you guys to get all your gear out of the shed, all your nets off the rack, put it back in the boats, launch out into the deep again, cast it all into the water again, because you're going fishing again. If he was your boss, you'd be complaining to HR, guaranteed. You've just done a shift and he's asking you to come back to work. If I ask that of my staff, they'll be complaining to HR. Right? There are many things wrong with this whole interaction. Firstly is this, Jesus, it's daytime. Do you understand that? Right? In the Middle East, Jesus, no one fishes in the middle of the day. Every Middle Eastern fisherman would fish from sundown to sunrise. Do you understand? Get out of there. It's not Ock Health and Safety approved to fish in the middle of the day. It's just too hot. Secondly, we know what we're talking about. We've just fished all night. There is no fish in the lake to be caught. Thirdly, we're 8 generations of fishermen. You're a carpenter. Like, what are you talking about? How many of you, like, you're trained in your profession? Like, you've done the uni thing, you've done the apprenticeship, got your ticket, the whole thing. How many of you, like, trained in your profession, right? There's nothing worse than for someone who is not trained in the profession that you're trained in telling you how to do your profession. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, nothing annoys a tradie more, like a sparky, than when some random home handyman tells them how to wire up a power board. You know what I'm talking about? Like, can there be anything more annoying for school teachers to be told by random parents that have never taught a single classroom day in their lives how to teach kids? Right? It's like crazy. Why would you do that? It's like people that have never pastored a church before telling pastors how to lead a church. It's never happened to me before, but I've heard it happens. Like, why would you, like Jesus, you have zero idea how to fish, and yet you're telling multiple generations of fishermen to go launch their boats out into the deep at a time where you shouldn't be fishing. Come on, somebody. They've already fished all night. I want to park around this uncomfortable notion tonight of how do you continue to navigate having faith in God and believing in Jesus and His Word when you feel like you've been toiling a really long time doing everything you know what to do and how to do it, only to feel like Jesus hasn't done His part. Maybe you're here and you've done everything you can to get whole in that relational space and get healed, and you've done all the counseling and you've been to all the ministry appointments and you feel like, you know, you've taken some steps in discipleship and all of that and you're ready for a relationship, but no relationship seems to be coming, and you feel lonely and you're ready to move on to the next stage of your life. Maybe you feel like you've done everything you can in the area of your health. There's a chronic condition, so you've Googled all the things, you've seen all the doctors, you're eating all the right stuff, you cut out all the right foods. Come on, somebody. But it doesn't feel like your condition's actually shifting. Very few things test what you believe about God than when you're feeling weary because you're doing everything you know how to do, and yet you've got not much to show for it. And yet you serve a Jesus who comes around and asks you to believe again, asks you to love again, asks you to give again, asks you to serve again, asks you to respond again, asks you to pray again, asks you to fast again. How do you do that? Because it'll be so much easier, Jesus, we not agree, if like Jesus rolled up and like the last five nights they've been catching fish. Like full boats, awesome. Jesus rolls up and goes, come on, let's go fishing again, boys. Absolutely. There's tons of fish in the lake. Let's go again. It's amazing how much energy we find when there is a perception of return for investment. It's amazing how much energy we suddenly find when it feels like we've got something to show for what we're doing. Come on, somebody. And there's a spiritual parallel to this. You know what I think often causes spiritual weariness in a believer or emotional weariness? It's not the fact that we've continued to be obedient to God. It's the obedience to God without seeing the expected reward of obedience. That's exhausting. So Jesus knows exactly where these disciples are at. Simon, James, and John, they've been walking with Jesus for a little bit. It's the second time around. Luke chapter 5 is simply this. When Jesus shows up, has the conversation with them, he was not testing their work ethic. He was testing their faith. And so this is a sermon for, for many in the room tonight. I really get a sense that there's some people here where you've made a decision somewhere in your faith journey that you love Jesus, but you've docked your boat. And you've put your gear in the shed. And you've washed your nets. And you're happy to sit down like Simon, James, and John did and listen to a sermon. But the last thing you want to hear from Jesus, it's time to go again. It's like you're happy to just sit and receive a good word, but you're not really wanting to. The last thing you want to do is actually to respond again to the thing that Jesus is asking you to do. My message tonight is going to help you unpack every single moment in your life where you feel like you're spiritually weary or emotionally weary from doing everything that you know how to do, and yet it doesn't feel like you've got something to show for it. So we get into the Word of God tonight. Three learnings from this. Firstly is this: when you're weary from believing, just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Simple to say, very hard to do. The reason for that is when we're weary from believing, the first thing that your soul wants to scream to you is this: quit, give up, walk away. You're done. You've done enough. It's not going to help if you believe again. It's not going to help if you keep walking. It's not going to help. You're just going to tire yourself out more. I want to suggest to you today, that's a lie of the devil. When you're weary from believing, come to Jesus. I have never known anyone who has pulled away from Jesus when they're weary and has come back fully refreshed in their faith, full of testimonies. Look what God, I've never heard that. I've never seen that. However, I've seen people that have been weary from believing, but have believed again and again and again and again. Do I see a cloud? It's the size of a man's fist. I believe there's rain coming. Do I see it? I don't know, but I'm going to come back again and again and again and again. When you're weary from believing, just come back to Jesus over and over and over again. Matthew 11 verse 28 says this: just quit, go to Bali, all you who are weary and burdened. Does it say that? No, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't know why we read it like, quit, all you who are weary and burdened, and Netflix will give you rest. And TikTok and Instagram Reels will give you rest. No, it says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on, give God a shout of praise. When you're weary from believing and you just don't want to go fishing again, just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. After 21 years of pastoring and observing my own experience, it's easy to pin our weariness in different seasons on Jesus. We blame a lot of things on Jesus. Whenever we're weary, Jesus cops it. It's the first one to cop it. Do you know what I mean? Like, wait a minute, we're just tapped out. But I genuinely believe that it's not what you're doing for Jesus and what you're doing with Jesus that's making you weary. It's what else you're doing. It's what else you're doing. Like you're looking at your life and you go, man, I haven't got a breakthrough. But when you look at your diary, oh man, on like Saturday when it's meant to be your day off, you're running off to the shops and then you're going off to a bridal shower. And then after that, you got like some luncheon for some person's 25th. After that, you got your basketball game and then you finish off in the night just hanging out with mates at a games night. And then you go to bed at 2 a.m. and you wonder why you're absolutely cooked for like the once every 3 weeks that you come to church. And you blame church for the weariness. I'm so tired. I've just been to Connect like every fortnight. I'm so tired. It's not what you're doing for Jesus that's making you weary. It's what else you're doing. But it's so easy to blame Jesus. I'm so tired from toiling all night. It's your fault. You just randomly show up. Now I'm going to sit here. I want to go home, but you sit here and listen to you preach. Do you know what I mean? But I'm saying to you tonight, when you're weary from believing, come to Jesus. When you're weary, don't run from Him, run to Him. When you're weary from believing, you should be praying and fasting. Second thing, when you're weary from believing, keep obeying. It sounds simple, but also very hard to do. Jesus is constantly speaking. He's constantly guiding. He's constantly stirring. It's just that when we've been fishing all night, we're too weary to hear Him. But when you're weary from believing, keep obeying. When you're weary from believing, it's not a license to suddenly disobey God. Sometimes we think that weariness gives us an out from obedience. See, when I read Luke 5, I just think to myself, man, Jesus, are you like some sadistic savior? Are you not reading the room? These dudes have been fishing all night. They've washed their gear, dried it all up. They're sitting down. They've clocked off. They've done a massive shift. And here you are, asking them to do the very last thing they want to do in the whole entire world. You know, there is precedence though, because God rarely ever asks us to do something we already made our minds up to do. It's not the work ethic that Jesus was testing. It was their faith, who they put their trust in, because obedience is always inevitably tied to who you trust. Makes sense to you guys, right? And the journey of Christianity is this wrestle. God, I find it hard to believe. It's finding it hard to go again. I'm finding it hard to respond again. But I am going to obey your next word, even though I haven't seen any results or outcome my way. I'm going to stop obeying you out of obligation. I'm going to obey you in faith. I remember many years ago when it was early years in church and we were very tight financially, Chrissy and I. And it was maybe, I don't know, fourth, fifth year in, and the Lord actually challenged us to give to building our future. Quite, let's just say, an extraordinary / risky amount. We couldn't afford it. And it was, if you were a risk-averse person, you just wouldn't do it. But we did it because we felt God impressed it on our heart. And when we gave it, it was, look, when I first heard God give me the amount, I wanted to rebuke the devil to start off with. Then I asked Chrissy, and hoping that my beautiful wife would talk me out of it. But if any of you know Chrissy, she is the last person to talk anyone out of a kingdom act, right? And so we gave it. Now, God didn't immediately give us a financial breakthrough, but sometime later, He gave us an extraordinary provision through some inheritance and that some side thing that we completely didn't expect. Now, in that act of obedience, when we were weary from believing, it changed the game. It so fortified my faith that now you cannot change my mind that we have a provision God. Come on, that we have a Jehovah Jireh God. From that moment on, I've had an unshakable faith for my family and for this church. I have carried the faith for provision for this house off the back of that obedience. And I was so close to saying, God, I'm so tired. We've had not a lot of money for quite a few years now. I don't want to keep believing for this miraculous provision suddenly. And yet God comes and asks us to do the last thing we want to do. Here's the thing. Obedience must come from faith in God, not obligation to God. See, so many of us want a Jesus when we're weary from believing to just ask us to do what we already have in our minds to do. Ideally, Simon would have wanted Jesus to say this, gee, you guys are real tired fishing all night. Hey, you should go home and rest. We all want to craft a Jesus that affirms us rather than challenges us. But if all that Jesus did was tell you to do what you already want to do, quit, give up, dock your boats, don't believe, he would just be affirming your feelings, not growing your faith. But we've got a Jesus that's about obedience, not affirmation. Come on, somebody. So when you're weary, keep obeying, fully knowing that the Heavenly Father who is asking you to do this again has something in mind further down the line that you can't see right now. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise. And he's rarely going to ask you to do something that you want to do. It says this in verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Go out into the deep. Go out again in the middle of the hot day. Dudes, I've been to Lake Galilee. The deepest trough there is right in the middle of that lake. It's a long way out. And for so many of us, we just want God to tell us to do the things we already have made our minds up to do, the easy road. But that's not your Jesus. In fact, Scripture is full of occasions where God comes and tells people to do the very last thing they want to do. Remember, he's not testing your work ethic. He's testing your faith. Yes. Abraham, you know that son I gave you that you've waited a really, really, really long time for? He's about 12, 13 years old now. Good kid, isn't he? I want you to take him to Mount Moriah with a really big dagger. Put wood on his shoulders. Build a sacrificial altar. The prophet rolls up to the widow at Zarephath. She's got a bit of oil, flour. Going to bake a cake for her and her son. Going to eat it. They're going to die. The prophet rolls up and goes, actually, don't bake the cake for yourself. Bake it for me. What do you do when God comes and asks you to do in your season of being weary of believing? What do you do when he comes and asks you to do the very thing you don't want to do? I'm here to suggest to you today that if he's asking you to go again, he's got something waiting for you at the other end of your going. If he's asking you to give again, he's got something waiting for you at the other end of your giving. If he's asking you to serve again, he's got something waiting for you at the other end of your serving. If he's asking you to believe again, he's got something waiting for you at the other end of your believing again. And notice how Jesus doesn't ask Simon to deny the reality. Because he says this, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. But verse 5, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. You know, it's completely okay to be honest with God. We've been believing a real long time, Lord, for a child, but we don't have one. We've been believing a really long time, God, to buy a house, but we haven't bought one yet. We've been believing a real long time, Lord, to be healed from this chronic condition, but we haven't yet, all the tests. But the next line is so vital to our theology, because Simon says this, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I'm wondering if God is going to raise up a church again in Perth that has the nevertheless at your word faith. I wonder if there's a next generation of young people under 30 years old that will be the nevertheless at your word faith. Stop being the nevertheless, TikTok says this. Stop being the nevertheless, Instagram. Nevertheless, social media says this. We need to become the nevertheless at your word. I think it's time, even in the season of our weary believing, when we don't feel like we've got much to show, but we've got to say, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. But God, you haven't come. I've been toiling all night. Been believing for so long, so many. This is going to be my fifth conference now, God. No breakthrough. I'm here to tell you today that his delays are not his denials. Do you know there's a difference between partial obedience and full obedience? Sometimes when God turns around and asks you to do something you don't want to do, I don't know about you, but it feels like if I just do a little bit of what he asked me to do, it will get him off my back. A bit like kids, you know what I mean? You ask them to do something and like they do a small part of it, hoping that you just stop writing them to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like clean your room, they clean a small part of their room, right? Sometimes it feels like when God asks us to do the very last thing we want to do, we feel like partial obedience is good enough. Can I suggest to you today, don't just partially obey. Obey it all. go at His word. I don't know if you've noticed Luke 5 verse 4, it says when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, we read this before, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch. Plural. Let down your nets for a catch. Which part of that isn't clear, boys? Let down your nets for a catch. Very clear. And then verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll just let down the one net. I'm going to talk to this side. Isn't it human nature for us to repeat back to God the partial instruction? I know you asked me to give $10,000 for building our future. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll give five. I know you asked me to step into leadership, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll just do 1 in 3 roster. I know you asked me to spend time with you at 6 a.m. every morning, but nevertheless, at your word, I might read it on the bus. See, can I suggest to you today that there is a fullness of breakthrough at the other end of the fullness of our obedience? Sometimes we allow our weariness to give us license for partial obedience. Well, I went last year to conference and did the full Reggio everything, and Ben Fitzgerald didn't pull me out and give me a prophecy. I'm just going to go for the Friday night. Just they open up nighttime session tickets, so I'll just buy that. See, for us, it's easy sometimes to allow ourselves to partially obey. Even then, Jesus in His mercy and kindness filled the one net to the breaking point that it had to fill up a couple of boats. I wonder what kind of story we'd be reading today out of Luke 5 had they put out all the nets. I wonder if there's miracles and breakthroughs yet to be experienced in this church because we haven't fully lent in by faith and done what He's asked us to do. See, I love the fact that we've got miracles in the making, but I don't just want partial healing of hearing. I want that young girl to hear fully. I don't just want people in our church to have a partially restored marriage. I want them to be fully restored so that they can help out. Come on, somebody. I don't just want you guys to have like a partial lifting of torment in your mind. I want you to be free completely. Jesus wants you free completely from depression and anxiety. There is a full measure of breakthrough at the other end of the fullness of our obedience. I got to keep moving. Third learning, musos, you can join me. When you're weary from believing, remember that your breakthrough actually blesses everyone around you. Here is Simon. And for him, the disappointment was in, I didn't catch anything all night. I don't have any food to eat now. No income for the night. So for him, it was about catching fish, right? But Jesus had the provision for an entire village in mind. Wow. Scholars don't really, or they can't really assign an economic value to what the catch was that night. But they estimate that it would have provided an entire fishing village, or at least the whole fishing fleet, about 7 to 10 weeks worth of wages. Off the back of one fairly new disciple deciding, even though I'm weary from toiling all night, I'm going to hang out close enough to Jesus to hear His word, follow that next instruction, and then be amazed at the catch that I have to call in other boats to help. Everybody ate for weeks off the back of one person's breakthrough. I'm wondering whether there's people in this room where your family, your loved ones have been disqualified from the overflow that could be coming out of your life because you've decided, I'm going to put the gear back in the shed, dock my boats, and I just don't want to go fishing again. I'm here to suggest to someone today, it's time to go fishing again. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to go fishing again. It's time to go fishing again.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.